Okay, so it's good to see you. Is there anybody on the back of the wall where I can't see? You all? Yeah. So I'm a little bit handicapped. I had eye surgery on Friday, and they fixed my left eye, but we're still waiting for my right eye. And so my glasses just kind of don't work. Now I can see pretty good, and I made my text large on my notes. So I think we're all right, but we'll see how that goes. Okay, so tonight I've been teasing you with this. This is my favorite lesson. Why is it my favorite? Because everything else hinges on it. The first week we talked about that we were free from the slavery of sin. Why? Because we've been adopted into the family of God. Last week, what did we talk about? This is a test.
The mirror, we talked about the mirror analogy, our reflection.
Okay. So we talked about our image, and how is that affected by tonight's lesson? Because it's only true because we're God's daughters. So the entire book, everything besides chapter 3 hinges on this one chapter that we are God's daughters. Okay, so I want to start out by saying a Christian woman is one who can boldly call God Father. Think about that. If you can call God Father, you are what? His daughter. So let's open in prayer. And I'm going to do a little different than I would normally do. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. That prayer came from Jesus. He was teaching us how to pray and told us to start out with our Father. Why did he start it out like that? Because it's so important. Look in your book on page 31, and this is where the glasses may be necessary. Let's see. We'll try this. Okay, I want to read the quote here on page 31. Read it along with me. You don't have to read it out loud, but if you want to judge how well a person understands Christianity, find out how much she makes of the thought of being God's child and having God as his father. If this is not the thought that prompts and controls her worship and prayers and her whole outlook on life, it means that she does not understand Christianity very well at all. It feels like the microphone went out. Yeah. Okay, I'll just talk loud. Okay, so think about that quote. She's the author there. Who is that? Courtney Doctor. She's talking about how important it is to understand that you are God's daughter. Everything else depends on how well you understand that. So when is it beneficial to make this claim? Well, first of all the time. But looking at that claim, when is it important? When you've been rejected. When you've been fired or passed over for a promotion. When you are struggling financially. When the person you were committed to breaks his commitment to you. When you yourself have not honored your commitment and you struggle with the guilt, you are still God's daughter. When you feel that God doesn't care about what's going on in your life, you are still God's daughter. When you didn't do your Bible study for the week, you are still God's daughter. I put a smiley face so that I would smile when I said that. Making this claim a reality, you want to say, I am God's daughter. Say it. I suggest that you repeat this often because you are seen and you are loved by your Heavenly Father. The more you say it, the more it will become a reality. But there's a caution here. The thief doesn't want you to believe that. Because if he can cause you not to believe that, then you open up the door for all kinds of problems as far as how you feel about yourself. How does he love us? To what extent? So what's it doing? It's not going to explode or anything. Okay, so I want to use my family as an example here, because when I saw this chapter, I thought, well, good grief, I have a built-in example in my life. So I'd like you to meet a cute little boy. This little boy's name is Cavante. He was born very early. I'm not sure how early. When he was born, all of his organs were in the wrong place. And they had to literally cut a cross in his belly and go in and rearrange all his organs to get them right. And so are we back on here? Yeah. Okay, so they didn't expect him to live. His mother had already given up all her other children that she couldn't take care of. So you can imagine when this one came along, it was obvious there were going to be problems, and she could not handle it. So she gave him to the state of Florida, and the Florida put him in the foster system. Camden lived the first 4 years of his life literally in a pack and play. His foster mother brought in lots of foster kids, and she had lots of pack and pay plays, and she put each kid in a pack and play. And so that's where he lived his life. He was 4 years old. He was not potty trained. The foster system decided that he was, and they used the term mentally retarded, and that he would never be able to be potty trained. He would never be able to learn. And that it was his condition at 4 years old. Well, God has a way of working things out. My daughter, Sherry, wanted to adopt a child. And she wanted to adopt a child that nobody else wanted. There are a lot of things that go against children for adoption. If they're more than 2 years old, if they are a minority, or if they have any handicaps. He had all of that going against him. And Sherry saw that cute picture, and she said, I want that boy. And they said, no, you don't. And she said, yes, I do. In fact, she said, that's my boy. And so they adopted him. They have a natural daughter. The cute little girl is also Rebecca. She's my granddaughter. Isn't she cute? And she has a great name, too. She became an official member of the Green family. So we went to the adoption. Has anybody ever adopted a child in here? Okay, so, you know, you go to court, and the judge is this judge. I don't know if they're all the same, but this judge was great. He made it a ceremony, and he said they had already told him what they wanted his name to be, so they changed his name from Cavante to Camden, and the judge said, Camden, you are now a member of the Green family. And you have all the rights and privileges that go along with being a member of the Green family. That family is yours. Your inheritance as a Green family member is the same as your sister, your new sister. And so it went well for a little while. They'd had him for about a year, and they had to move. So they moved from the house they were in to a rental house, waiting for their other house to be ready. So the day that she was to go and pick up the keys for the rental house, Camden was sick, and he couldn't go to school that day. Oh, I left out something. She kept him for a weekend before she adopted him and potty trained him. Literally, Friday to Monday. I'll tell you about him now because he's very smart. But they went to this house, and the landlord met them at the door. And Sherry said, "Camden, come in. This is your new house. It's so pretty. Look how pretty it is." And she said, "Let me show you where your room is." She takes him back to one of the bedrooms, and all of a sudden, he just starts bawling. She said, "What's the matter?" And he was crying so hard that he couldn't even tell her what was the matter. And finally, she said, "Do you want to go sit in the car and wait for me?" And he said, "Yes." So he went and got in the car, and he's in there. And she gets the keys, and she goes out to the car. She gets in. He's just bawling. And she said, "Camden, what is wrong?" He said, "Mommy, I'll be good. I promise, I'll be good." He actually thought that she was there to give him to this gentleman. And of course, she pulled him up in her lap and she said, "Camden, you are my son forever. I would never, ever give you to anyone else. You are mine forever." Well, Camden's self-image begins, he begins to acknowledge that he literally belongs to Sherry and Todd. I purposely put this picture of Dad. Todd is Sherry's husband, and he is like the most amazing dad there ever was. And the two of them are like inseparable. They do everything together. So he got a family. He got a mom. He got a dad. All these things he would not have had he not been adopted, because he was destined. I don't know if you know this, but when you've been in a foster home for 4 years, the state of Florida says this child has to be put up for adoption. And then if they don't get adopted, I'm not sure what they do. I don't really want to know, because it would make me sad. So Camden not only got a mom and a dad and a sister, he got a grandma, good one. And he's so cute. This is a couple of years ago. And then this is his extended family. That's my son and his wife and little Lily. And Rose was not born yet. And Todd and Sherry, Rebecca and Camden, and me and my husband, Gene. So Camden got an extended family in addition to just mom and dad and Rebecca. Camden is extremely computer savvy. He is so good with computers. By the way, Camden is very smart. I left this out, by the way. He is deaf. And he had a cochlear implant when they got him. So he can hear, but he didn't hear till he was 4. So his talking is really, you would have a hard time understanding. He has a cochlear implant. He's also a little bit autistic, just very low on, if you say low or high on the scale. He's well functioning. He does have some academic problems, but he's doing quite well as long as there's a computer involved. So if I don't, and I have a computer background, but sometimes I have to call him and say, "Camden, how do you make this do this?" And he can fix anything. Camden, do you know what Roblox is? Anybody know? It's been on the news lately, but Roblox is a game that you can play, and it's on the computer, and you can play with other people. I'm just going to put this out there. I don't approve, but I'm not the mom. So he was playing Roblox, and he got to know somebody on Roblox. And one day my daughter walked to the door, and he was talking to somebody. And so she stood there and listened, and the voices that he was hearing were obviously adult voices, a man and a woman. And they were telling Camden that his grandparents, talking about us, his grandparents did not love him, that they only saying they love him because they want to have credit for bringing in a poor little old foster kid. And he said, no, that's not true. My grandparents love me. My grandparents lavish love on me. But there it was. There's the thief trying to steal that identity. Camden has grown into a boy that's quite secure in his position as a green. He has problems, and he has problems with attention, so it's going to be hard for him to hold a job. But he is secure in his family. Now, let's back up. This little boy was broken. He had a broken situation. Let's compare that to us. When God brought us into his family, we were broken. We were, a Bible even says that we are enemies from God. And then God says, that's okay. I want her. I want to adopt her into my family. God chose us. Everybody wants to debate that. I don't understand debating it because it's all over the Bible. But God has chosen us when we were dead in our sins. And then we see this, where Camden was brought into a family. That's what happens when we're adopted by God. We are his children, and we were brought into his family. And guess what we get? All of you. Because all of you are my sisters. You think about that? Now, I know I'm old enough to be some of your grandmothers. Like, I'm trying to see who I could be a grandmother with. There you go, back there, and I don't know. Maybe great-grandmother, I don't know. But we get a family when we're adopted into the family of God. And we are being sanctified. We've talked about this over and over again over the last 2 weeks. From the time we are justified, we are continually being sanctified. Well, this is what's happened with Camden. Camden is going through his life and learning more and more what it is to be a member of the Green family. And by the way, he loves the Lord so much. He talks about him all the time. And here he is. He's 18 now. He loves his family, loves the Lord. He lives a happy and productive life. And he's a computer whiz. I already told you that. Last Thursday, he had another cochlear implant put on the other side of his head. So now he has two. This is how God has taken care of him. Now he has a cochlear on the other side, and the cochlear that he already had, he's had it so long that it's out of date and they don't support it anymore. So now he gets a new processor on that side. So he's going to have two cochlear implants, state of the art. So let's compare it to us. God just pours out blessings and on us. Once we are his daughters, he just lavishes us with love. He brings us into the family. He gives us sisters that we can communicate with. Don't you just love being together? Why do you think you love being together? Because you're sisters. Because God is your father. So let's move on. I think what you have, you have 1 John 3, 1 through 3. I just wanted to emphasize, you are loved. And I have some things I want you to circle. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known, but we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. All who have this hope in him purify themselves just as he is pure. So circle lavished. Lavished, the word lavished means to give, to bestow, to enable, to hand over, to pour out. So this says that your Father pours out his love on you. This is what we saw in Camden. Camden's family is pouring out their love on him. The world does not know us. That word know there means to acknowledge, to understand. They will never understand us until they acknowledge him. You know, there's scriptures I could have pulled out. I'm limited on time, so I can't bring out every scripture. But there's scriptures that say that when you're not in God's family, there's no way you can understand God's word or understand why you should obey God's laws because you're not in the family. And so that's something to think about when we are looking at people that are not saved. This is something that I really love. It says, dear friends, dearly loved ones, the object, where it says dear friends, that means dearly loved ones, the object of special affection and of special relationship, as with Jesus, the beloved of the Father. This is so cool. In Matthew 3:17, God's voice comes out of heaven and it says, this is my son in whom I am well pleased. Do you know the word pleased is the same word where he calls us his beloved? It's the exact same word, same Greek word that he used when he called Jesus his beloved son. We are his beloved daughters. Using the same word. I don't know about you, but that gives me chills. How do we respond to such a great love as this? What do we do with it? Well, you might think, well, I need to repay, but how much would it be? How much could you repay for this lavish love? You would never be able to pay him back for the love that he puts on us. Our works do not compare to his work in us. So we are helpless to repay him for what he has done. So what do? We behold his love, we praise him for his love, and we glory in his love. And should that change the way we live our life? I think it does. Because too many times when we don't act the way we feel like we should, almost always it comes back to some kind of hurt. Someone has hurt you. Someone has rejected you. And that's what you got in your mind. And if you could flip it over and say, but I am the daughter of the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Alpha and Omega. I'm his daughter. That would change the way you look at your life. This is the foundation of Christianity. Not that we loved him, but that he loved us, that he loved you. Let's talk about the earthly father versus the heavenly father. Anybody have a perfect father? Some of you are probably going to thinking, yeah, he's pretty good. And then some of you are saying not so much. My dad was a great man. He was a great preacher. He was a great pastor. Everybody in the church loved him. But as a father, he was pretty much absent because that occupied everything about him. Now, I can sit around and feel sorry for myself that my dad didn't have time for me. In fact, I spent a long time feeling like I got shortchanged. That the church members got everything and I didn't get it. By the way, that's something to think about when you make demands on your pastors. You know, they have children too. And they have responsibilities at home and they have a wife. So it's something for us to think about when we think, well, he didn't come and visit me at the hospital. Well, maybe he had a sick kid or maybe he had other things to do. Camden's father is in jail right now for life. Camden's mother recently was sent to jail. Now, I don't know how long her term is. Now, I don't know how my daughter knows this. She knows everything. The mother is not supposed to contact Camden. She did. They had to put a stop to that. But earthly fathers are broken people, just like us. And so they're not going to be perfect. This may, however, determine how you think about your heavenly father. Do you know psychologists say whoever the strongest parent is, that's how you associate how God is. So like if your father is the strong figure in the family and he's not a nice guy or he's very vindictive or very punitive, do you know what I mean? So always punishing, it's always about punishment. That's what you think God is. You may even reject God because of how you are basing his character on a father's character. What is a father supposed to be? He's supposed to be loving, protective, accepting, nurturing, forgiving, all those things. But aren't we too? Okay, so sometimes we don't want to forgive our father for having those shortcomings or our mother, and yet we have them. When that doesn't happen, our view of the father is compromised. We question why God should love us. If I think my father didn't love me, then I might think God doesn't love me either because God is like my father. Or if my father constantly is punishing me, maybe even capital punishment, I might think God is like that. So if I do wrong, God's going to whip me around. Strike us with lightning? We reject love because we feel unworthy, because we felt unworthy with our father. We believe our behavior negates our right to be the child of God. And so we don't claim our identity as God's daughters. Instead, we see him almost like the boogeyman in the sky. Well, I want to tell you another story. This is about the prodigal son. It's found in Luke 15. I have to look, see, what did I put in your... Oh, I just put the reference. Luke 15, you probably know the story of the prodigal son. I'm going to tell it anyway, so you can just say, tell it to me, I don't know it. But if I were going to give, you know the titles in your Bible, that's not part of Scripture. Somebody made up those titles. But if I were going to title that story, I would call it the prodigal's father, because that's really what it's about, is the prodigal's father. So let me just tell you the story real quick. A young man lived in a very wealthy home. He knew that he had an inheritance coming to him eventually, but instead he said, I want it now. I just can't imagine doing that, by the way. If that was my kid, I would say, you're not getting it, so. But this father said, well, if that's what you want, this is it. You can have it and you can go your way. You may take it. You may leave. And so he goes out with all this money and he spends it, the Bible says, on loose living. Well, we can just imagine what he was spending his money on. Gambling, prostitution, paying for all the drinks for his friends, whatever, until eventually he ran out of money. And he ran out to the money to the point that he had no money to live on. And so he asked a farmer if he could live with the pigs and eat the leftovers from the pig pen. That's what he found himself in. One day he decided he had had enough. And he decided to go home. And he said, I'm going to go home and I'm going to tell my father that I am not worthy to be his son. And I would work for him as a servant if he would allow me to do that. That's what he said he would do. But the father wouldn't have anything of it. That's not how it was going to go. If the Bible says he saw the son a way off and he went to greet him to celebrate his return. And if you know the rest of the story, he lavished love on him. He put robes on him. He gave him a ring. He fed him the best food ever. I'm sure that tasted good after the pig slop, right? The boy, I'm sure, was very happy that he had gone home. So why is God telling us this story? This isn't something that really happened. It was a parable. And Jesus was telling the story. Jesus is the Son. And he wanted us to know what his Father is like. And his Father says, if you want to go your own way, I won't stop you. But when you are ready to come back, I am ready for you to come back. And I want to play a song for you. And bear with me because it's YouTube, so we got to listen to the stupid little commercial, but we'll get past it. Okay, thanks. Just a minute, I'll get to skip. All right. I am hitting it. Let me do it down here. There we go.
Thank you.
That is a signature sound. And I believe it's January 15th. They're going to be at First Baptist Dunellen.
Oh, wow. Signature sound is their name?
It's, yes, signature sound. Let's see.
What was the date?
I'll check and make sure, and I'll tell you next week. Okay, well, I lost what I wanted to. Okay, I was just going to go back to the picture of the Father. The God of the universe looked down and he saw you. He saw you and said, I want her to be my daughter. And Jesus said, I will not lose one child that you have given to me. So when you're sitting there feeling unloved, unknown, unseen, you're not, because the Father selected you. And then once he got you into his family, he lavished love on you. You're here, you're drawn here because you're drawn to him. Not to me, to him. Romans 8:15 through 7 says, For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption. What does that mean? That's what's in your head. I'm adopted. I am a daughter of God, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. You know what Abba means? Daddy. I have a friend that calls him Papa. Daddy. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then we are heirs. Heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ. Just like Camden has all the rights that Rebecca has as a member of the Green family, we have the same inheritance as Jesus himself. Does that blow your mind? Because you almost don't want to believe that's true. But I mean, I didn't make this up. It's in the Bible. You are fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. A sanctified soul bears the image of her heavenly Father. So the more we are aware of our position as daughters of the living God, the more we become like Jesus, because Jesus is our brother. I love Ray often calls Jesus our big brother. I mean, what a picture that is. I have four brothers. Some of them aren't nice, but the spirit of adoption, the Holy Spirit, stands alongside our spirit to be a witness of our rightful position as God's children. Heaven is an inheritance to all believers. The Holy Spirit is the guarantee of that, or the down payment of that position as heirs. What are we heirs of? First and foremost, God himself. We are joint heirs with Christ, so we are heir of all things. We've been saying, you are the woman Jesus loves. I'm changing it up this time. You are the daughter Jesus loves. You are seen. You are known. You are loved. And that's a great thing. Let's close in prayer. Father, my Father, their Father, we are so blessed to call you Father. And that's enough. That's all I need to say, is that I am your daughter and I am blessed to be your daughter, to be Jesus' sister. And all these beautiful ladies are my sisters as well. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your love letter. Thank you for loving us and caring for us. Thank you for lavishing love on us. We thank you, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen.